Greetings in Christ Jesus, and welcome once again to the Twin Steeples podcast. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church here in Mankato, Minnesota, whose main goals are to share God's saving word and to communicate the ongoing activity of Christ's kingdom here at Emmanuel. Thank you for joining us today. Today is Wednesday, March 20th, 2024. I'm your host, Pastor Joe Nauman, joined today by our principal, Mr. Brandon Heinze. Mr. Heinze, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Greetings to everyone.
We are cruising right through the second semester today. I think we started the fourth quarter this week. Is that right?
Yeah, we started the fourth quarter actually last week. This is halfway through the second week of the fourth quarter. There are about 9 weeks in a quarter, so I think we've got about 7.5 weeks or so left.
Wow, this year is just flying by, it seems like.
Huh? It is cruising.
Next week is Holy Week already, too. So
it is. Yeah. Earlier this year than some years.
Coming up quick. Yep, it is. Today we'll be starting with a devotion based on Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Here Paul writes, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." And so, Brandon, as I look at the first verse there, there's a whole bunch of kind of implied conditional sentences. So if there's consolation, if there's comfort, if there's fellowship, if there's affection, mercy, all of these ifs, what's kind of the implied answer to all these conditional sentences here?
Well, the implied answer is that all these things are true. Mm-hmm. There is consolation in Christ. There is comfort of love. There is fellowship of the Spirit, and there is affection and mercy. And if those things are all true, then Paul is asking the readers of this to do these things, you know, fulfill his joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of a one mind. And he goes on in verses 3 and 4 to describe kind of like selfless instead of selfish things.
Yeah. I like how you use that word self to kind of describe, you know, selfless versus selfish. And I think we think of Christ first and foremost as, you know, the selfless one, the one who gave himself completely in his sacrifice in order to take away our sins. If you can hear the timpani, that's because it's band day here at Emmanuel here on Wednesday. So just so you know, that's what that noise is. But Paul is encouraging us here. Look, is there consolation in Christ? Yes. Is there comfort of love? Yes. And so maybe let's take those one at a time. What is consolation in Christ? What does that mean per se? And I'll go first. Maybe you can take the next one, Brandon.
Sure.
So consolation in Christ, you know, I think of the word consolation, maybe we think of a consolation prize, you know, which would be you didn't win, but even though you didn't win, here's a prize anyway, you know. And we shouldn't maybe think of this like that, but consolation here is the fact that, you know, you know, you get that trophy because they want to comfort you, even though you didn't win the championship. Here's something that you can get anyways. And that's, you know, we didn't win the championship on our own, did we? We needed to be comforted and we needed to be encouraged. And we are that through Christ. Christ won eternal life for us. And so we couldn't win for ourselves. We couldn't get our own trophy. We needed Christ to win the trophy for us. And so he gives us that consolation, that encouragement that even though we are incapable on our own, that Jesus has won the victory for us and gives us that consolation. So how about the next one? Where is the comfort of love?
Sure, comfort of love. You know, I think in the case of a marriage, you can find comfort in the fact that you have someone who loves you. And, you know, pretty much regardless of how many times you might have disagreements and things like that, you can always come back to that. Other loving relationships, think about between, like, you know, a father and a daughter or a father and a son. There's always that love that exists between the two of them, regardless of what happens, you know, in life. And there's comfort in that, knowing that you can go to your father if something is bothering you and find comfort in him.
Yeah.
And we have that same comfort with our Heavenly Father through Christ.
Absolutely. Couple girl dads here.
Yep.
You got five, I got three. Yeah, we know about that father-daughter relationship.
Right.
So the next one then is fellowship of the Spirit. You know, here I think of you know, we confess in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, you know, and the truth is that it is the Spirit who calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth. He's the one who unites us together. And we have that, you know, there's that Christian fellowship that unites all believers all over the world and as part of the Holy Christian Church. But then we also have that, you know, that's the broad fellowship of the Holy Christian Church. But we also have the blessings of the narrow fellowship that we enjoy here at Emmanuel, of this fellowship, of this group of believers who are united together. And this is going to tie in a lot with verse 2, as we'll talk about in a minute. But the only reason that we can have this unity, this fellowship in the truth, is because it's the Spirit who comes and works in our hearts. You know, it's not something that we're able to achieve on our own. It's it comes through the Holy Spirit and His working through the Word in order to help us all to gain that correct and right understanding of God's Word and to see what is the truth and what is the teachings, the doctrines that Christ has called us to. All right, how about the last one, affection, mercy?
Yeah, and if any affection and mercy, I think this comes down to Christ as our example. You know, He was the ultimate example. He came to earth. He showed affection to those that understood that they needed healing, not just of their bodies, but also of their souls. Mm-hmm. When they came to Him in their different, you know, levels of despair, whatever it might have been, whether they were lame or whether they were blind, it didn't matter. He showed them affection. He showed them mercy. And it's a good example for us too, is that there's a lot of people out there that hurt in, you know, whether it be physical, emotional, or whatever. And as Christians, we can help show them affection and mercy by sharing the gospel with them, sharing the love of God with them, mm-hmm. and continuing to, you know, pray for them and try to help them as much as we can.
And so Paul takes all these conditional, I mentioned the word rhetorical, sentences that have the answer yes. So that all these things are there. So then he says, now fulfill my joy. And so I think that's interesting too. Paul says, this is my joy. What makes me happy is thinking about you, this church that I helped start, you know, during my second missionary journey with Lydia, with the jailer at Philippi, with their families, all the people who are there. It fulfills my joy when you guys are all on the same page, when you guys are like-minded, having the same love, one accord, one mind. When you're all united together, that makes me happy. That makes me joyful. It reminds me kind of Psalm 133, which mentions, it says how blessed it is when God's people join together in unity, how blessed unity is. And it truly is, you know, and I think again of our group here at Emmanuel and how blessed we are to be united in the truth of God's word and to be like-minded, to have the same love, you know, be united in the love of Christ and our love for our neighbor, for one another, being one mind, one accord, you know. And that doesn't mean that we're all clones of each other. It doesn't mean that we don't have, you know, different ideas about what the future of Emmanuel might hold or different plans for what might come. But when it comes to our faith in Christ, when it comes to the doctrines of the Bible, when it comes to God's word, we are united. And so then we can take this truth, this unity in the truth that we have, and we can then apply it to our day-to-day interactions with one another. And that's where I think we get into verses 3 and 4. And you mentioned those two words, selfish versus selfless. How would you define those and how would you kind of differentiate those? Based on what we see here.
Sure. Selfish, you're always looking at yourself. It's always an internal, what's best for me. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, doing something that's good for you. But when you're doing that at the cost of others, when you're doing that without regard to how it might impact others, then that becomes a problem. But here Paul says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. So those two things indicate to me that you're doing things that bring you gain, but they are hurting someone else in that effort to bring yourself gain. But esteeming others better than yourself, you know, looking out for others at the same time as looking at your own interests, which he gets to in verse 4 there, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Always keeping in mind that our actions don't always just impact us. They impact those that are around us and things mm-hmm. like that as well. So again, having that kind of the ability to be selfless is to look at how others are impacted by what you're going to do, say, things like that, and keeping that in mind when you go about making decisions and how you live your life.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's interesting because it's hard, it's very hard to be selfless. I mean, our whole experience is looking out of our eyeballs, right? And thinking about the pain that we've gone through, or the difficulties that we had, and, you know, the miles that we've walked in our shoes. And so we have such a unique, each one of us has such a unique perspective of our own situation and what we've been through. You know, empathy is something that needs to be learned. You know, it's not a natural, and something that needs to be practiced, really. It's not a natural thing. I remember that from, you know, when I took a child education course when I was in college, you know, to prepare for the ministry. Childhood education is, empathy isn't something you learn until, I don't remember what it was, 3, 4, 5, they're not even capable of putting themselves in someone else's shoes until you reach a certain level of cognitive ability. So it's not, you know, it's not built into us at all, and it's something we need to practice on a regular basis. This idea of putting ourselves in the other person's shoes, or what might they be feeling, and that's something we practice with our kids all the time. Then, you know, once they get to that age that they can, it's like, well, how would you feel if that happened to you? Or what would, you know, what if someone said that to you? Or how, you know, having those conversations, and all of a sudden now, you know, it can open your eyes. And,
yeah.
We teach our kids that. But I think it's something that as adults we sure need to work on too.
2-year-olds aren't quite capable yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. My daughter Brenna likes to pull my goatee.
Oh, yeah.
So I ask her, how would it feel if I pulled your hair? She goes, I wouldn't like that. So then why do you keep pulling my goatee? She goes, I like to. So, you know,
yeah.
2-year-olds aren't quite capable of that.
So
know
at 2, it doesn't
yet.
Happen. Okay. Yeah. You know, a final thought on this, you know, is, again, we use Christ as the example here, and you know, I think of the words of Jesus on Maundy Thursday, which again is coming up next week. He said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." And that's what we're called to do here in these verses. We're called to serve others, and you know, I truly believe after you know what I've seen and the work that I've done, service is what truly gives meaning to your life. How can you serve others? You know, what gives meaning to your life? People look for money and cars and house and financial success or finance success in business, success in their job. You know, they look at all those things and they think those things are what's going to give them fulfillment and give meaning to their lives and make them happy. But what I've truly found is what truly gives you meaning and purpose and fulfillment in your life is serving other people. So how can you serve others? How can you give your life not as a ransom for sin, but how can you give your life in service to other people? Because this is, and that's where this is really going to go in the next couple of verses, as we'll see going forward. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. You know, Jesus took on the sins of the world, and that's what gave his life so much meaning. You can't take on sin, but you can sure put responsibility on your shoulders. You have the ability to bear up under the responsibilities God's given you, whether you are a husband or a wife or a father or a mother or a teacher or a pastor or a principal, whatever, you know, an employer, an employee, we can go on and on, whatever responsibilities you have, God has given those to you. And how can you, to the best of your ability, take those responsibilities and fulfill those responsibilities to the best of your ability in service to others in all those roles? That's what's going to give your life meaning. And that's how we can, in lowliness of mind, not think of ourselves, not be selfish about the way we're going forward, but looking for the interests of others and what's good for the other person, and how can we serve them and help them. That's what God has called us to, and that's what Paul encourages us here. Any closing thoughts there?
No.
All righty. Why don't we close with a prayer?
All right.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for always putting others first. Thank you for not thinking of the suffering that you would endure, but rather knowing the reason behind it, that you went to the cross to suffer and die to take away our sins because of your love for us. Bless us with an ever greater understanding of that love. Help us to have that same love, being of one accord, of one mind with one another, as we are blessed with the fellowship that we have here at Emmanuel and the strength of the Spirit that works in us, a faith that grows ever stronger and leads to eternal life with you. As we prepare for Holy Week next week, bless us with your love and understanding, and strengthen us as your children. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. Which brings us to our weekly updates and reminders. Pastor Nathaniel Mayhew is still considering our call to serve us here at Emmanuel, so we keep Pastor Mayhew in our prayers. He will actually be here today for our Lenten services at 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. This is the last of our Wednesday midweek services. We'll be taking a look at Pontius Pilate, who was seeking our Savior's death. Look forward to Pastor Mayhew leading us in that study, which will bring us next week to Holy Week. So this coming weekend is Palm Sunday. which will take place both in the Saturday and the Sunday services. And the next week, we look forward to some special services. I'll be having Monday, Thursday on Thursday at 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. We'll be looking at who is seeking our Savior's death. God the Father himself was looking to put Jesus to death, and we will be offering communion during that service. And then on Good Friday, we'll also have a 2 p.m. and 6 p.m. service. There will be no communion for that service, and we'll be looking at Jesus Christ himself as the one who is seeking our Savior's death. There will be some special music from the adult choir at that service. And then on Easter, we'll have our regular services at 6 p.m. on Saturday evening and 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. There will be no Bible class or Sunday school this weekend, but there will be a special Easter sunrise service as well at 7 a.m. on Sunday morning. You're welcome to join us for that. Always a wonderful way to begin our Easter Sunday. And then there will be the Easter breakfast between that Easter sunrise service and the Easter service at 10 a.m. Hope you can join us for as many or all of those services as we consider the work of our Savior Jesus and his great love for us in dying and rising again. This weekend, which is that Palm Sunday weekend, is also Arts Camp, the 22nd through the 24th. So we pray that God would bless the travel of those students who will be attending and who will be coming together to use their talents to God's glory and to worship with us here this weekend. Coming up in April, April 3rd is Church Cleanup Day. That'd be Saturday morning. The next weekend, April 20th, would be the Cemetery Cleanup Day. So please circle those dates in your calendar as we prepare to clean up, do spring cleaning here at church and at the cemetery. And then also there's a quarterly voters meeting on April 22nd. That'd be Monday as well. As far as our prayer list today, we keep in our prayers Pastor John Hine, who recently posted that things have been not going quite as well as they had been earlier regarding his cancer. So we certainly keep him in our prayers. We keep Marlene Hannell, who's dealing with cancer, and also Jim Leon, who is on hospice care. We're praying this week for Jean Morey, who turned 103 on March 16th. What a great blessing that is. And I also just found out we're praying for Kimberly Olmanson. This would be the wife of Garth Olmanson, who they live down in Texas. Garth would be the son of Omar and Kathleen Olmanson. Kimberly has been having some severe neck and vision problems that's requiring her to go see a specialist and doctors in Florida. So pray that God would bless Kimberly, and hopefully the doctors can diagnose what the problem is and return her to full health as well. Which brings us to our hymn of the day today, which is based on, found in the Red Hymnal, hymn 464. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne we pour our ardent prayers. Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows a sympathizing tear. When here our pathways part, we suffer bitter pain, and yet one in Christ and one in heart, we hope to meet again. This glorious hope revives our courage by the way, while each in expectation lives and longs to see the day. From sorrow, toil, and pain, and sin we shall be free, and perfect love and friendship reign through all eternity. Amen. Thank you for joining us on the Twin Steeples podcast. Once again, Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church here in Mankato, Minnesota. For more information about the ongoing activity here, we'd invite you to check out our website, emmanuelmankato.org. Until next time, may God bless and keep you, and may you always remember, Emmanuel, God is with you.